Good morning. I want to talk to you about something. Let's talk this morning about money. What a wonderful, if you didn't get that, we're going to talk about money this morning. What a wonderful medium of exchange. It can enrich human life in many ways. It can be used to buy things that sometimes we take for granted. I had a friend one time. When I knew him, he was a millionaire. And every time we went to his house, he'd sit there and he'd always have a bowl of peanuts. And he always ate peanuts. And I said, Art, why do you enjoy those peanuts so much? He said, when I was a kid, we were so poor. I used to go down to the store and I put my face up against the window and I would dream about eating peanuts. And we didn't have enough money. And he said, I never forgot it. And he's sitting in this big house with, and he always, you know, you can buy food with money. It's great, right? You need food. We can provide shelter. This Glencastle project here in Atlanta, which George Bush has claimed this is 21st point of light. They took $3,500,000 and reclaimed the old stockade. And 65 families now have shelter, which sometimes we take for granted. I listened to a tape this week of a man who at 9 years old was without a home or a family and actually lived under a bridge from the time he was 9 years old. And now he's a very gifted preacher of God's word. And he said that every time he walks in a room, it turns on a light switch. He's thankful for shelter. Take it for granted. Takes money. There's a company that was talked about on the Today Show last week where the president is providing funds for the employees to provide higher education for the employees. You talk about a great perk. You know, people, they're endeared to this company for what money can do to help educate the children who belong to the employees of that family, of that company. Money is great, isn't it? It has enormous potential to bring goodness into human life. Then I want to ask you a question this morning. Why is it that Jesus Christ sets up a rivalry between God and money in the Sermon on the Mount? You all know the verse, right? Matthew 6:24. He says, "No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other." You cannot serve both God and, he doesn't say money, does he? He says mammon. Now, why does he say mammon? I had to do some research on that. Jesus makes the point using the Aramaic term mammon that money is not an impersonal medium of exchange. Here's what I'm saying here now. It's not neutral, if you will, spiritually and emotionally. You've heard it said, you can tell a person's character by looking at its checkbook, right? In other words, in that expression, what we're saying is money is actually a reflection of your character. Throughout the New Testament, it tells us that that's true. The word mammon adds that emotional and spiritual dimension to the concept of money. If you wanted to come up with an English word that would be better than money, it's riches, wealth. It has emotion. It has power. Mammon is a power that seeks to dominate us. It's not neutral. And our friend Nehemiah runs into that power today in the fifth chapter of Nehemiah. You cannot serve God and mammon. Let's keep that in our minds today, okay? We're in the fifth chapter today of Nehemiah, and he runs into this power. Money has power. Okay, here we go. It's considered a classic in the area of leadership. And if you're a leader, you're always running into situations that you've got to work through. You don't need leaders to do nothing. They found out you can't manage people into war. You got to lead them into war. And we're talking about warfare. And the warfare we're talking about is capturing the hearts and minds of people. Now we run into, if you will, the bottom line here. Nehemiah 5. Now the men and their wives raised a great outcry against their Jewish brothers. Some were saying, "We and our sons and daughters are numerous, semicolon, in order for us to eat and stay alive, we must get grain." You got to eat. You got to eat. When I was managing salesmen in the IBM company, we had a sales contest. I call it, "You got to eat." And every time somebody sold a new account, a new Fortune 500 account, we called Fazer Brothers in Chicago. And that night, his wife got a box of prime beef stuffed in CO2 in the mail. And on the front it said, "You got to eat." And you got it, you know, you need grain, you need steaks. You got to eat. So that's the source of this whole thing. And it takes money to eat. Others were saying, "We are mortgaging our fields, our vineyards, and our homes to get grain during the famine." Why did they have a famine? Why was there a shortage? All the people shut down their agricultural interest to build a wall for the mission. And they sacrificed for the sake of the bigger mission here. Verse 4, still others were saying, "We have had to borrow money to pay the king's tax on our fields and vineyards." King Artaxerxes, 400 miles east there, over in Persia, did not relax the taxing system on these people who were performing a special work under the guidance of Nehemiah. So you have compound problem here. And verse 5, "Although we are of the same flesh and blood as our countrymen, and though our sons are as good as theirs, yet we have to subject our sons and daughters to slavery." In order to survive, they had to mortgage their children. "Some of our daughters have already been enslaved, but we are powerless because our fields and our vineyards belong to others." What you have here is a situation where people are basically in economic difficulty, right? And they're angry. They've lost their leverage. They're not producing any surpluses. They're going further into debt. And in a situation like this, people of wealth can go one of two ways. They can serve God. They can obey the law, and they can serve their brothers who are disadvantaged. Or they can serve mammon, they can break the law, they can take advantage of their brothers, and that's what was going on here. The Old Testament law called it usury. It was prohibited by the law of Moses. It was strictly forbidden, and that's what they were doing. They were, instead of helping people in need, they were taking advantage of people in need. Now, this issue is so important. Our response to human need is so important that the New Testament uses it as a test of our Christian faith. Quickly, I want you to move over to the book of 1 John with me this morning. 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. That's a nice thing to say, right? Jesus Christ died for us. He laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our life for others. The writer takes it a step further, though. In practical terms, verse 17, he says, "If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth." That's the New Testament model. It's a total non sequitur to be saved by the love of God, by grace, and ignore human need around us. And don't we do that so often? It's easy to become desensitized to the needs of people. We're here at Buckhead this morning. We don't see a whole lot of human misery, do we? If you own your own home, you are in the top 5% of the most wealthy people in the whole world. To help us lose our desensitivity, our insensitivity, last Christmas, Russ Neal picked me up at my house with my little four-year-old. We went up to the Feed the Hungry Foundation. We put some boxes in the car, and we spent the day together just going out, being reminded of what we have. That's what it did for us. We didn't really help him a whole lot. The man who put the Glencastle project together is now the headmaster of my son's school. And what he's got the senior class doing this year is raising $20,000, and they are going to build a house for somebody that doesn't have a house, just to show them where most people are today. We don't know where people are today. We don't know what it is to be hungry. We don't know what it is not to have a roof over our head. And we don't know what it is not to have education. We take all these things for granted. But God does it. And the challenge today is this. As we approach Thanksgiving and Christmas, consider how we can invest as much of what we have in the lives of other people, because that's the only thing that will last forever. In the midst of this battle, what did they do? They took advantage of one another. What we need to do is remind ourselves that that money we have is to invest in the lives of other people. That is the only thing that will last forever. If you want to know about money, just read the 16th chapter of Luke. Remember that, okay? And in there is a great verse. He says, make for yourselves friends with the mammon of unrighteousness. What he's saying is, use your money to make friends. Now, what kind of friends? Eternal friendships. In other words, if you're a smart man, you'll lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt. You will be using your money today to win people, to serve them with your money in the practical sense here that St. John talks about in 1 John 3. If you get some more money, that doesn't mean you have to spend it. That might mean you can invest in a missionary to some of these disadvantaged places. So the bottom line today is this. Are you for God or are you for mammon? If you're for God, you're for people. Because that's what God's all about. You use your money to help people. You use unrighteous mammon. It's basically not very good. But you use it, and that's the way you make it good. You use it to help people. I hope that comes through. Let's have a prayer together. Father, we thank you for providing for us with relative abundance. And I pray for myself and my brothers here this morning that we would learn how to be more sensitive to human need with what you've given us to work with, our time, our talent, and our treasure. Let us not be like those people that Nehemiah had to run into who took advantage of those around them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have a good time at your tables this morning.